and a lot of butter. I'm not paying. Can I get a Cuban sandwich before I start the show, Steve? No, I'm not cooking meth.
All right, Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer. Ira, we have to hear what you had for Father's Day, how your lobster was, and how are you doing otherwise? You're looking very tan, fresh haircut.
Steve, just a word of advice. From now on, call me Heisenberg. My name is Heisenberg.
Heisenberg,
From Breaking Bad. That's the name that the guy assumed when he started cooking meth. Now, I'm not cooking meth, but he was a tough son of a gun, and he said, call me Heisenberg. So, Steve, if you don't mind, once in a while, you go from Ira to Heisenberg.
All right, Mr. Heisenberg, I know you're re-binging that. So,
I'm re-binging.
No World Cup for you. No, Qatar versus Bosnia.
No. Uzbekistan. No, none of that.
None of that.
I was into the NBA draft a little bit because my Sixers need a lot of help. They drafted a 175-pound guard. Steve, a good wind in Philly's going to knock the guy over. I hope this kid can play.
Hopefully that happens to the Eagles' defensive line as well, but they're always bolstering that.
I had a good Father's Day, Steve.
Good Father's Day.
Went out the day before, picked up a couple of lobsters, pound and a half each, baked potato.
Did they make it to Monday?
No. We had it on Sunday.
Well, not everybody eats a whole pound and a half lobster.
Well, I don't eat the inside. Some people do the whole legs and everything. I don't do it. Give me the tail and give me the claws, and I'm a happy man. And a lot of butter, Steve. A lot of butter. Went on the scale the next morning. Not pretty. But it's Father's Day. Sam sent me golf balls, Callaways.
Nice.
Super soft. I went out and played this week. Lost three of them. Now I'm down to nine. I can't use those balls on a professional course. Too much water. Too much woods. You know, if it's a par three and there's nothing in the way, I'll take that ball out.
Yeah, on the par three, you don't need new golf balls. But all right, Ira. We have got some stuff to talk about, some happenings in the world of the Bucs as we march toward training camp.
What are we, less than 5 weeks away, Steve?
Well, yeah. The Bucs rookies will report July 27th, and the veterans report July 28th. That came out this week. Bucs' first training camp open to the public is July 30th, but it seems like the 29th might be the first day for the media.
Ah.
So we'll see. The Bucs have not shared that yet. Yeah, we're marching there. We got some time to gear up and refocus, but plenty to talk about.
How many open practices for the run-of-the-mill Buck fan, Steven?
Three for the average slob.
And most teams have about 7, 8?
12, 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, it varies. When they all come out with their schedules, they're almost all out yet. I'm going to write something up. Now Carolina's having work at their practice facility, so they have none this year. And there's always a team that has some construction issues. But we'll see where the Bucs rank.
A couple of years ago, Steve, wasn't it only one, maybe two?
So yeah, it evolved. In 2025, there were three. 2024, there were two. 2023, there was one.
Okay.
Last year with Tom Brady, none open to the general public. So we've been down that road. Hopefully, we don't have to go there anymore.
We're the only ones beating the drum, Steve, and I don't mind it.
Well, the irony is that the Glazers keep saying through Brian Ford, the president of the Bucs, or whatever his exact title is.
C-O-O.
C-O-O. Big Cheese. They keep saying how important it is to have the fans there and how much they love having the fans there, but then they don't invite to find, they haven't found a way to get more fans in or to let the average guy fill in gaps where season ticket holders or the special interest groups aren't necessarily buying all the tickets.
You think they could put up coverage stands at other parts of the facility other than that one row?
Sure, it wouldn't cost much. You know, they could easily add. Without even blinking, they could add another 150 seats. There's a lot that they could do, Ira. Of course, there are the indoor days, whatever. And, of course, you could do more standing room only. We'll see. You know, they could always announce another day. But, Sage, we did have a little bit of news on the media front. Now, not everybody listens to the Bucs on the radio anymore, certainly. And the radio broadcast is not as important as it used to be 20, 30, 40 years ago. But the Bucs replaced Gene Deckerhoff with Tony Castricone. I believe he's 43, 44 years old, voice of the University of Washington football. And he's also called basketball games. And he is not just coming in to be the replacement radio voice. He's got a lot of TV experience.
Did somebody tell him You're going to have to make an adjustment to the weather in August and September when you get to town and start doing preseason games and the September games. You're not in the Pacific Northwest anymore, Stevie. You're not. There ain't no 109 heat index in Seattle.
I'm assuming they talked to him about the weather, no doubt. And maybe he's got some family here or some experience. We'll find out. I'm sure they'll introduce him to the media at some point in some capacity to see who this guy really is.
He's filling some big shoes, Steve.
But, you know, Dekkerhoff is a legend. I hope the Bucks put him in the Ring of
Honor. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that. I would do that this year, right away. Put him in the Ring of Honor.
Absolutely.
Now, we've been talking up James Wilder and Nickerson, but I don't think anybody would complain if they put Dekkerhoff up. I think he's done enough to merit it.
I think you can't tell the story of the Bucks without Gene Dekkerhoff, and they've made him a part of every big event. He's a legend. Put him in there. The guy's 80 years old. What are you going to wait? You know, make him wait. Why are you
it's
doing
it? It's a natural, Steve. Yeah. It's a natural.
It's an absolute natural, especially in what's actually a natural era. And I'm going to tease you. I'm going to hope that maybe this quashes your retirement fantasies or thoughts. Next year's the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl for the Buccaneers, the first Super Bowl. The Bucs are already planning a tremendous amount of events and a big reunion and a lot of stuff around the 25th anniversary that they're going to celebrate. Remember, they did not celebrate the 20th anniversary because of the controversy with John Gruden.
You also had the COVID going on a little bit in 2022, to be fair.
You didn't have really COVID in 2022. I mean, the locker rooms were
back.
Well,
now Gruden's back in good graces.
I know that.
There's no Gruden controversy
I know that.
Now.
So 2022, they could have done it. They chose not to. And I'm not quoting anybody, but I know that Gruden was a part of this decision. Let's wait till 2025. Or excuse me, let's wait till the 25th anniversary and the Gruden stuff will blow over. So now he's back and they can have the big celebrations they want to, which I'm sure you'll want to be a part of, Ira, when they bring in all this stuff. But it's a natural to put in a member of that team into the Ring of Honor for the 25th anniversary.
I like the way you're thinking, Steve.
So that's why I'm thinking it's going to be Brad Johnson. But Dekkerhoff would be a natural, and I hope they do it. Okay, so Castor Cone comes in. Now he's going to be working for the team doing some media, which means website work. Maybe they have a couple of more Bucks talk shows versus what they just have on Buccaneers.com now. Maybe some more player shows with him, or maybe just do things differently and have some more media for the fans in-house. And that would be great. Anything that they can add is going to be great.
He's picking up a mantle from a legend. There's no question about it. It's like when you get somebody to replace me, Steve, in about 15 years. That's tough duty, in the words of Lovie
Smith.
Yeah, irreplaceable. That's tough duty.
Irreplaceable. I guess who's going to fly in from Washington State and replace Ira Kaufman?
And Steve, if they have the 25th gala events, who better than Dekkerhoff to emcee them, right? Shouldn't Dekkerhoff be the MC?
Well, I don't know how much of his fastball he's lost, you know, as far as...
This new guy, he doesn't know John Lynch if he fell on him.
No, but he's got a year to brush up, and there's other people that certainly could fill in. Look at so many guys on that team that were broadcasters.
Yeah,
imagine if you ask Keyshawn, hey, you want to sort of MC the party too, you know, and lead the. I'm sure he'd love to do it, or other guys. So Gruden, they could even divide it up. But I know they got some really cool stuff planned. Dekkerhoff, 37 years, Ira. If he doesn't deserve the Ring of Honor, I don't really know what the explanation would be on that. So hopefully they do. What I would consider the right thing there. And
I can't wait for this 25-year celebration. You know, there's some guys I haven't seen in a long, long time I'd love to hook up with.
They got some cool stuff planned, and, the Glazers usually do the party scene pretty well. So, of course, you're a big face of that.
You know still around one Buck place from that team?
Shelton Quarles.
Shelton Quarles
actually appeared in a video. The Bucks released a mic'd-up Alex Anzalone from practice. Now, for fans not catching the name, Anzalone.
Inside linebacker.
New free agent signing from Detroit, high energy guy. So they shared a mic'd up from practice. And at the end of practice, Anzalone and the inside linebackers are all huddled up, arms locked. And he's sort of prompting the assistant coach, Mike Caldwell, to say a few words. And he does. And Mike Caldwell addresses another guy who's in the huddle with them, arms locked. It's Shelton Quarles. And Quarles takes a little jab at him, saying, I look better than you do. And
he's a very quiet guy, Quarles. He's a very private guy.
Well, I don't know if he's private. I've talked to him a few times. He's very open to chatting, but he's very involved with the team. And I was surprised to see him in a, an inside linebacker huddle. Maybe they're getting him a little more involved.
You know, Steve, let's give Quarles his due. Here's the way I look at it. He wasn't a great player. He's never going to come up for, you know, Canton and a gold jacket. But for that defense, that Tampa 2, where everybody had a specific role, he was the right guy because you need somebody that was very mobile to race down the middle of the field and cover that area. And Quarles was very good at it. He was an integral part of that 2002 elite defense, which I think might be one of the top five of all time. Top five. That's high cotton.
Absolutely. And let me mention Lee DeCamper, our partner in crime. He's back, but I screwed up on my schedule.
Shame on you, Steve. Shame on you.
I thought he was coming back today, so we're recording without Lee, but he'll be on our second podcast of this week, which will be definitely a little bit longer. Now, Sage, we're presented by Bill Curry Ford.
Oh, they got to be gearing up for July 4th.
250th anniversary of America Specials Ford Company. Wow. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Get to the specials page. See all the different offers.
You know how patriotic they are over there, Steve. They take a lot of pride in it.
Absolutely. They've got such incredible relationships with the military. They service all the first responders vehicles in Tampa. And that contract with the city. I told you when I was out there for their 65th anniversary of the Curry family owning the dealership, you had every faction of law enforcement there, from the SWAT team to the Aqua team. Everybody was there. It was probably the most secure place in Tampa.
And the mayor was there, right, Steve? The mayor was there.
The mayor was there. A lot of dignitaries were there.
I'm surprised DeSantis didn't show up. You never know.
I don't know. There were a lot of people there, and it was special because of third-generation family dealership. There are very, very few of those left. And Bill Curry Ford has been a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. As we've said many times, they were once the only dealership in Tampa. Get to the website. You can see everything from the Ford Maverick 2026, incredible deals, Explorer, Bronco Big Bend, Bronco Sport Big Bend, a $250 a month lease. Check out all the details, BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan, our buddy, the GM, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you. You can reach out to him through the website or just pop in at the dealership and remember to schedule mobile service right at your house for no extra charge. Go ahead, Sage.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but could you consider Joe Buck's fans sort of like a family-type enterprise, Steve, as opposed to corporate? You're not behind a paywall, Stevie. You're not.
Well, you know, family business.
Everywhere I look, there's a paywall. Everywhere I want to look at a story, there's a freaking paywall. I'm not paying.
I mean, family business is probably the wrong word. Small business is a better word. But, yeah, sure, small local business, that's us doing our thing.
You're not corporate, Steve. You're not corporate.
No, of course. Well, you wouldn't be here, Ira. You would have been fired for insubordination, for a dereliction of duty, all kinds of things. Eating the company food that doesn't have your name on it.
The break room. I'm devouring the break room.
Making a mess. Taking coffee home. Coming in late. Fantastic.
What about Florida's Elite Restoration, Steve? What about them, too?
Well, what do you want to tell me about them, Ira?
I just think they're a fast-growing company for a good reason. For good reason.
Yeah, because they're fantastic. They're A+. Their name says it all. Florida's Elite Restoration. Check out their 5-star across-the-board Google reviews. Mold, fire, flood, storm damage, any kind of water damage in your home, you call them immediately. Let them out there for a free inspection. Owner Josh Martin, best in the business. His team, they got all the best technology, which is critical. They're not coming out there with a broom and a flashlight. And, you know, it's not like that. Not that they don't use flashlights, but you know what I'm saying, Ira. You mention Ira when you first call or Joe Buck's fan. They're there 24/7. And if you need their service after your inspection, you want to go with them, $500 back in your pocket, money for your deductible. They've got those decades in the insurance side of the business, age. That means they know the games, they know the tricks. They know how to get your money that you need to restore your property.
And, Steve, if it's a small job, they're going to tell you that it's a small job. They're not going to try to expand it into a $40,000 tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't hesitate. I can probably think of like 6 people off the top of my head that I know that have reached out to them, not really understanding what was going on, and they told them, this is not really a big job.
But they'll do it.
They'll do whatever you need to do. But sometimes it's just a cleanup situation or, hey, you got a leak here and it's not really what you think it is, which is good news. We're happy to help. So call them first before you call your insurance company, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Ira, look, it'll be fun to see what Castricone has to do. He's an energetic guy. I don't think he necessarily is going to be breaking any barriers here, but they've got a new voice and somebody they probably hope hangs
Should
in.
Should we assume Dave Moore's coming back as an analyst, Steve?
I assume so. The Bucks didn't announce any changes.
It would be nice if they added that to the press release.
They could have said something like he looks forward to working with Dave Moore. They didn't do that. Who knows what changes are in store? It's hard to say. Radio contracts used to get a lot of news, a lot of ink. Maybe their deal is coming up and they're exploring new.
I think Dave Moore's one of the better analysts around, Steve. He's not a homer. He's not. And he doesn't get overly technical. He explains it in a manner that Buck fans can easily understand.
He's pretty technical, you know, as far as those guys go. He's pretty X's and O's, but he's not a homer. He's not a rah-rah guy. You know, I think that's one reason why some of these broadcasts are not available after the fact to listen to, because Moore can be pretty critical, and I don't know if the team...
Yeah, if there's a breakdown, a communication breakdown, he says it.
I don't know if the team wants schlubs like us dissecting everything Moore said during a game. It doesn't mean that we don't listen and record sometimes, but you know what I'm saying. All right, so Ira, look, interesting. We talked last podcast about Todd Bowles revealing players took plays off. He said it. You know, we got a lead, and guys taking plays off, we got to stop that.
Quite an indictment,
so
Steve.
We talked about it. Yeah. We got into it, but you know what, Sage?
And then you contrasted that with the quote from Joel Glazer.
Yeah, yeah, Joel Glazer saying the team's fighting, 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 play hard for Todd Bowles, every blade of grass, all that stuff. Not really accurate. Well, James Harrison and Joe Hayden have a podcast. Harrison, obviously the Steelers legend, Hayden with the Browns, Pro Bowler with the Steelers too.
Good corner.
Yeah, excellent player. They have a podcast, and they spent a lot of time on these Bowles comments. They were kind of blown away.
You don't really hear head coaches talk like that a lot, Steve.
Not
a lot.
No. So, look, both of these guys were very adamant that it's a coaching issue. They said that kind of stuff happens in practice, and if you tolerate it, that's why it's happening in a game.
Did they say that the one that's the guilty party should be sat down, perhaps? Replaced for a game or
something
like that? Well,
they said there has to be accountability in practice and serious consequences. So, and they gave examples of Bill Cowher, or Harrison did, of being an ultimate call-out guy. Bruce Arians used to take shots at Tom Brady, and that didn't go over too well. Very speculation, Arians, and is there a rift? Is Brady mad at this or that?
Yeah.
And maybe some of it was to take pressure off his guy.
Look what he did with Fournette. Look what Arians did with Fournette.
Sat him down. Byron Leftwich might have been part of that from the standpoint of Arians went a little easy or harder on Brady to take some pressure off Leftwich. I don't know. But they also, Hayden and Harrison, agreed that fatigue is the typical issue with guys taking plays off. And ego, Harrison added, is why they don't raise their hand to come out for a couple of snaps or a series. And that's a huge issue, and that has to be addressed by a coach. If you're too tired, get the hell off the field.
You're not doing the team any good, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. So my question to you is, Ira, I get all that, but do you think that this loafing slash taking plays off is a reflection of that the Bucks weren't in the shape they needed to be? Maybe the team collectively wasn't as fit as it needed to be. Maybe that's why Todd Bowles made a change at the head strength and conditioning coach. And this is not something that, you know, Bowles has said, this is why we did it. Our guys were too gassed at the end of the year. He always said the effort was great.
Steve, I'm not sure that I can ascribe the occasional lack of effort to poor conditioning. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to make that kind of leap. I think it's more mental than physical. The mind's wandering. McCollum is example A. What are you thinking about? You're looking into the stands at the guy drinking a beer. It's an interesting theory, Steve. They say that when you're fatigued, that's when you make mental and physical errors. I understand that. But I don't know. I think that's too simple an answer. And I'll tell you what. Given everybody that's talked about taking plays off, including the great Lavonne David, Steve, I mean, when he talks, you'll listen. Everybody's going to be watching the Bucks like a hawk. Not in the preseason. Not in the preseason. But starting with the Bengals game, I want to see swarming to the ball. I won't accept anything less than that, Steve. And Buck fans won't either.
Yeah, it's certainly something to watch to a lot of degrees. And I think it starts in preseason. If you're if you're on the field, it's because the Bucks want to see what you got, and you better not
But those are kids trying to make the team,
right,
Steve.
Yeah, but yeah. If you see it there, you really have a problem, especially on special teams. I wonder how this taking plays off. Our instant thought is defense or offense. But how much was that happening on special teams?
Especially the coverage units.
That we aren't paying attention to. That, I think, might, I don't know, that would take sitting down with Todd Bowles and really exploring deeply a subject he probably wishes he didn't bring up.
I don't know if it was attention to, like the Buffalo game, Steve. Didn't they allow three different kickoff returns of at least 40, 45
yards?
Yeah,
and Carolina, the loss to Carolina, I mean, it was bad. And I started thinking maybe this is more a special teams thing than anything else.
Did I see David Walker dancing in a video the other day, Steve? Did I miss that?
I don't know what channels you're watching.
I mean, was Walker doing some kind of shimmy? I don't know.
Look, he's practicing, and Bulls said that the last couple of weeks of spring practices, he showed his speed and his burst, and they're excited to have him back. So,
you know, in a perfect world, Steve, they're not gonna ask for much from David Walker this season, because if Bane's a beast, Steve, they got Diaby, Nelson's a good backup. There may not be a lot of room for Walker. Where when you had Reddick, you know, he would have had a perfect opportunity last year to play 30% of the snaps, and he might be the odd man out this year, but he's gonna make the team. He will make the team.
Oh, yeah. No, he'll get a chance. And preseason, hopefully he's up to go full go in the preseason, because that's where fans are going to get to see him. He'll get to make his mark.
I guess Bowles wants to use ideally, Steve, he'd like to use a big rotation up front as a pass rush. Use that eagle. That eagle technique.
You know, I got to actually say I disagree. I think Bowles would love to see Reuben Bain be, man, this guy can play 82% of snaps and be dominant. And Diaby's in a contract year. He's going wild. If he doesn't have to rotate, screw it. I hope that they don't even have to go there.
How about rotating Vea? You know,
Vea played more last year than he ever did before. Yeah. I mean, those guys will rotate. There's no question. But I don't know. I mean, I think Bowles just wants everybody playing great. But if he doesn't have to rotate, I don't think he will. But they do have to see what Muhammad's got. Was this 11 sacks a fluke, or is he the real deal? We'll find out pretty fast, Ira.
Steve, here's a good question. We're not going to know this till maybe the end of training camp, but A'shaun Robinson, minimal, you would think, minimal impact as a pass rusher, but, you know, a run stuffer and good at it and physical. Is he going to start? Is he going to start up front? Or what do they do with Kancey? Do they move Kancey to right edge if they keep a 3-4? I don't know. What do you see for A'shaun Robinson? He's not going to play on passing downs necessarily.
Not much. I mean, if they stay healthy, I think they want to see what he's got. Now, I've read through all the Panthers blogs and commentary from last year. He played for Carolina, and the fans agreed that he played a little better last year.
And he was playing next to a stud in Derrick Brown.
Sure, better than he played in 2024. And they were sort of mixed reviews on whether they wanted him to go or not. But he wasn't like, people weren't screaming, oh, how could they let A'shaun Robinson go? But, look, the Bucs say that he brings the edge that they're looking for.
You know, in 24, Derrick Brown was hurt. I think he played one game. And
only one, yeah.
So Brown's presence might have elevated Robinson's effectiveness.
Sure. I think they'll give him a chance. Look, if he's taking Logan Hall's snaps, he'll take his snaps. Greg Gaines, Ira. You remember Greg Gaines, of course. No team. Does that surprise you? A guy who was in the rotation for the Bucs the last few years?
I would have thought that he could catch on as a backup. Steve, being somebody's rotation, he's an okay player, but I never thought he excelled at any part of the game. But he gave you an honest day's work. He didn't loaf.
Well, Bowles, of course, was gassing him up, but Bucks paid him $3.5 million last year. It was his third 1-year deal with the Bucks after playing. He rotated with A'shaun Robinson during the Super Bowl season for the Rams, and he just turned 30 as out of football. It's a name we're not talking about, but it's very telling. Out of football.
A la Haason Reddick. What's he, about 30? 31, maybe?
32, I think now.
Out of football, Steve.
Out of football.
Out of football.
The game.
5 years ago, the guy was an elite player. He was elite out of football.
The Gaines thing, is to me, is almost more interesting than Reddick, because we all saw the Reddick thing, all eyes on him. He didn't have it.
It all dissolved in New York.
He got banged up. But Gaines, there was no serious injury there. This was a guy the Bucks kept bringing back, kept paying more than the league minimum, and Todd Bowles kept saying this guy's a valuable piece. He does a little bit of everything.
And it's not like they got younger, Steve. They didn't get younger.
No. So you think maybe he was one of the loafers?
I don't know. I
He played 17 games. He made four starts, had a couple of sacks, you know, made a couple of plays. But, you know,
you got a snap percentage down
he's
there,
a backup. Snap percentage, 35% of the snaps for Greg
Gaines. One third of the snaps. All right. And don't forget, a lot of that is because Kancey was hurt.
Wouldn't he have a job if he played pretty well for those, you know?
I would think so.
I don't know. I think he might be a hidden loafer to some degree. I don't know.
That's a good phrase over there.
It's a hidden loafer.
You've used that against me a couple of times.
No. Hey, Sage has got a great work ethic, despite what one of his former colleagues tried
to tell us.
That bastard. All right.
So, don't tell me Rondé's been shooting his mouth off again, too. We got any new Rondé Barber stuff?
We hit a little bit of the Rondé stuff. He did have...
He's always got a new episode out, Steve.
He did have
something.
He did have some more. One thing that he started talking about, you know, what he's hearing behind the scenes, because he loves to do that. And he was talking about Bauer Sharp, the tight end. He called him a faster Cam Brate.
Faster Cam Brate.
Fans, if they want to sit back and assess Jason Light as a general manager, I think for every general manager, and I'm not talking about Light here specifically, for every general manager, there's a lot of luck involved. And I've joked to Jason Light about this, so it's not like I'm afraid to say it or whatever. I've joked with him, hey, you know, what do you say to the average fan who says, oh, Light, great job studying all year. You picked Reuben Bain, Felty.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's fortune involved, yeah.
So Cameron Brate, undrafted out of Harvard in 2014, Bucks cut him in 2015.
Anybody could have had him.
He gets signed to the Saints practice squad. They had him for a week. They didn't realize what they had. Bucks kind of missed him, brought him back. Rest is history.
Heady player.
He's sixth all-time Bucks touchdowns.
Good in the red zone, Steve. Good in the red zone.
Had a couple of
I want Otten to be better in the red zone.
Had a couple of really strong years. So Rondé Barber is saying what he's hearing, and we know he has access to practice film because he talks about it, but Sharp, think of Sharp as a faster Cam Brate, if that's what the Bucks have. And Sharp seems more physical because he's known for special teams.
But Brate wasn't known as a blocker, right, Steve?
No, he became adequate, but he wasn't known for special teams. And, of course, very quickly, he was a starter. Nobody expects Bauer Sharp to be starting. And they love his special team stuff. But he could be a faster, more physical Cam Brate. That's a very interesting comparison because you know that Barber isn't coming up with that himself. He's hearing that from somebody at $1.
You know, and you know what that means, Steve? If he does live up to Barber's initial expectations, doesn't speak well for Devin Culp, maybe even Payne Durham. Well, when's Durham going to make an impact? Is Durham doing anything besides taking up space? Co-Keefe? I want a sturdy blocker that I can count on over there.
Durham's okay, Ira. They threw him the ball twice last year. What do you want him to do?
I thought he's supposed to be a red zone target.
He's supposed to be, Jason Light said many times. And it's not like he's got a bunch of drops on his resume. He's actually made two standout catches in the very little action he's gotten. You know, they just didn't use him last year, so maybe he appears. Probably not, though.
Nothing new on the Mayfield front, Stevie. Quiet, crickets.
Quiet on the Mayfield front.
Until I wrote that column that stunned you because, Steve, they're the only team in the league. 32 teams.
How much homework did you do?
I did a lot of homework.
Because I didn't check.
I'm like, I checked.
I'm like, if Ira's going to the distance on this.
I did a lot of homework on Pro Football Reference.
So tell the fans what you're referencing.
No Buck quarterback has been the starting under center for this team.
From opening day.
No. It doesn't have to be opening day.
Severity,
for the majority of the season.
Yeah, okay.
For the majority of the season.
So, for example, Testaverde was here 6 years. He started like the last month of the season.
Over DeBerg.
He was a starter during 6 years, but you're not counting that, you know, making 3-4 starts at the end of
the season.
It's
like Freeman in 09.
Right.
He didn't start as a rookie.
Right,
Steve?
Mr. Leftwich.
Oh, yeah.
And then Josh Johnson.
All right, so anyway, Steve, 50 years of Buck football. They've never had their starting quarterback play more than five, the same guy play more than five consecutive seasons. I went through every team in the league. Every one of them has at least six, seven. A lot of them have 11. You know, this guy was 11 years, the Bradys of the world, the Roethlisbergers. Every team in the league, except this one. And what does that go? It goes to what I used to say, Steve, all the time. Where is the second big contract? Big. Now somebody would say, well, Mayfield got a second contract, 3 years. You know, that applies to anybody that was drafted by the Bucks. They've never drafted a quarterback that got a lucrative second contract with the
lucrative
Bucks.
Lucrative is the key word.
Lucrative is the key word. Because I think they might have done something with Chris Sims.
Yeah, Sims got like a one-year option extension, yeah, you know, and Sean King got an extra year.
That doesn't count, yeah. Steve. That doesn't count. So you know what that means, Steve, a lot of times? First of all, they're supposed to be the face of the franchise. Now, in 2002, the face of the franchise might have been Warren Sapp. And it wasn't Brad Johnson. I understand that. But most times, it's the quarterback. Most times. So I call them the team of a thousand faces because there's no stability under center. And I think Mayfield's got a good chance to end this thing. If it doesn't happen before training camp, I think they'll work something out. If he has a big year, Steve, and the team does well, why not sign him to an extension at that point? That would be absurd not to. I didn't say he's got to be the highest paid quarterback, but if this team wins 10 games and Mayfield throws 38 touchdowns, you got to pay the guy.
Yeah, you have to at that point. At that point, you should want to if he throws 38 touchdowns. It's interesting, Ira, you asked about Rondé Barber. One thing Barber said on his recent show is he doesn't think the Mayfield deal will get done before the season. And he was specifically saying week one. He said before Mayfield's deadline, and he added before week one.
Does he believe Mayfield's deadline's a real deadline, Steve?
He didn't address that. He didn't address that, Ira, but I think Barber realizes that, anything can happen in these arbitrary deadlines. No one's turning down money.
That's right.
In August, maybe once the regular season starts, but in August, no one's turning down. If you get the offer you want, nobody says sorry.
So he thinks he's going to play this season without the extension.
He didn't say that. He said he didn't think it would get done by week one.
Okay.
It all really comes back to Mayfield, what's in his heart and in his head, and how much he wants to gamble on himself, because he could tell the Bucs, no, this is my line in the sand. And if they don't want to cross it, there you go. But I don't think he's going to do that.
Steve, I find that interesting, and because Lee and I are on the same page on this one, and you're not. You're not. You don't seem fazed at all. You're certainly fazed by the 2-7 finish. But you're not particularly linking Mayfield's play to the 2-7 finish to the extent where you've lost a little confidence in terms of making a long-term commitment to him. You're not shaken at all about Mayfield.
It's very simple to me, Ira. I think he's a good quarterback, and I don't think you F around with the quarterback position, and I don't have any reason to believe that he is out of his prime or not on the rise. The guy hasn't missed a game. I agree with him on that.
He's not brittle.
And what are you going to do? Unless you want to blow up the whole team with a new big-name head coach and start fresh with a rookie quarterback, and you may not get the one you want with your picks and all that. I don't think they're going to do that because I don't think the Glazers have any interest in blowing it up as long as they know that they can compete and win the NFC South.
Steve, when you heard Mayfield bristle at a question about whether he's going to tamp down his aggressiveness as a scrambler, which he's very effective at, when he bristled and said, I've played 51 games out of 51, which is true, and not a lot of teams can say that about their quarterback, do you interpret that as saying that the Bucs have tried to have conversations with Mayfield about changing his running style? You think those conversations have happened?
Sure, but I don't think he gives a crap. Look, you're telling a guy everything that got you here, you got to tweak that a little bit. And Mayfield's not wired to do that.
I'm with Mayfield on this.
And he doesn't want to rewire himself, so there aren't a lot of quarterbacks, I think, that have pulled off that transition to go from, I play like this till I'm 30, and then I play differently. Now, some guys have done that out of necessity. Now, that may be what we're looking at with Mayfield. Maybe he misses three games and realizes, you know what, I can't do this anymore.
But until that happens.
But until that happens, I don't think his attitude is going to change. Because, Sage, you've been covering the NFL since 1938. I love how you didn't even flinch there. You didn't even flinch. But you've seen quarterbacks go from, okay, now he's 32 now, he's got no knees left, and he's got to play differently. I think it might take that for Mayfield.
I think Kyler Murray might be a good example of that. He's not running nearly as much as he used to.
Russell Wilson dialed it back.
Mahomes might be dialing it back. He might be.
So many others have dialed it back. Randall Cunningham successfully dialed it back hugely.
I don't see Lamar Jackson doing it, Steve. I think that's still a big part of Lamar Jackson's game. We'll see.
No. Certainly he's not doing it for a while, and that's why, I look at Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, he's amazing.
It's different because those organizations are paying them to run the ball.
And he's a big-framed guy, though, Steve.
They want what that guy is, and
they want those 15 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Steve? Yeah,
they want it. They're paying him to do that. Mayfield's not in that class, but I think the Bucs are just fine with him. They just don't want to pay him more than they feel that they need to. And frankly, that's smart business. And you know what? If you can save $5 million on Mayfield, there's a backup guard that you didn't have last year. So
speaking of a backup guard, Elijah Klein going to make it out of training camp, Steve?
All right. It's time to end this podcast if you're asking
me. I throw out Elijah Klein. He's a draft pick.
Elijah Klein, yeah.
I'll say this. If he was any good, he would have played last year.
If he's any good, they wouldn't have drafted a guy in the fifth round. They wouldn't be bringing in Dangerous Dan Feeney for
A misstep by light. A misstep.
Yeah.
He's not a minor misstep.
He's not a player. And, big deal. That happens with the draft. All right, Sage, we're going to get out on this podcast.
We're coming back with Lee.
I saved a couple of things that I think we're going to be arguing about with Mr. DeCamper.
He's not going to walk off into the parking lot, Steve. It's not going to be like that.
No.
We're not going to be talking about whether Bowles can develop a pass rusher. We're not going to do that.
All right. Nothing to talk about. We got to find out now.
A lot of people agree with Lee. And I'm trying to fight the good fight, who are these guys? You're giving me Shoyenka. He's out of football. Reddick's out of football. And a lot of fans agree with Lee.
It goes both ways because Diaby has been a good third-round pick, so somebody developed him. Or you could argue he'd be better with better development. There's a lot of ways to go. Yeah. But, look, no one's paying Todd Bowles to be their edge rush guru, and Larry Foote as well, no matter how much Bruce Arians loves the guy. Sage, final thought for folks as we tell them and remind them to do their homework now on floridaselite restoration.com, floridaselite restoration.com, and of course to make Bill Curry Ford where they turn when they start shopping for a vehicle. That's all we ask. Check them out first. Family owned makes a difference.
All right, here's what I'm going to say, Steve. Here's something I'm going to look for when the pads go on in training camp and the preseason. And I asked Bowles this. I didn't get much of an answer. Maybe I didn't phrase the question right. Steve, we're talking about 5 new starters. That's not a stretch. 5. Some people might think 6. On defense. That's half your defense. If you're going to make that kind of an overhaul and you're the defensive guru and you look at the strengths of 5 different new players and their weaknesses, doesn't that encourage you to do more than just tweak and maybe actually change the structure of your defense? I think Bowles should take a long look at fitting this defense once he becomes aware of what he's got with Bain, Trotter, Anzalone, Robinson, Muhammad, Scott. Once he's got a beat on these guys, I expect changes in the scheme.
It's something we'll talk to Lee about on the next podcast. All right, my quick response, my 10-second response as we head out of here is, you're basically telling Bowles, hey, Todd, you finally got all the guys you were looking for. You finally upgraded the talent, and you're not going to get to test it within what you know best. I have a feeling that we're not going to see the changes you are looking for, Ira. But what we want is for you to never change, Sage. You're looking great, and we'll see you next time.